Coming at the Saturday on Beyond the Vibe, I'm joined by Neil Murdoch of Blue Nation.
So a guy messaged me saying, right, Times Radio want to do an interview with you. And I'm sitting there thinking, it'll be fine. It'll be on Zoom and we'll be able to be okay. And no, they want you to play live. They want to interview you in the studio in London. And there's going to be a novelist there who was lovely. A guy who is like the top brain in AI. An actress from June 2. And I'm like, why are we here? The worst thing about that was they said to me I had to count down during the song because I had to hit the 10 o'clock news. Mate, see, the dog agrees.
I think that's part of the appeal,
I think,
because you guys are so real. You show that you're like a lot of people would have seen that photograph where Luke looks like a children's TV presenter and gone, scrap it, get rid of it, I'm not doing it. But you guys, you post it, and
we're like, profile picture done.
I appreciate the time. Looks like you're really prepared this time. I'm impressed with the.
I got the proper
the microphone.
I got the proper mic for you, mate. I'm not going to lie. There's a couple of lights up as well. To make me look a bit better. Right. So it's been a long day. I'm just saying. So no, it's because my MacBook camera only works when you've got the light of the actual sun.
Right. One of them.
Yeah. So it does make the picture look better. So that's going to be my excuse, and I'm going to die by it. So
No, I'm impressed. This is a massive step up. Obviously, we spoke like a while ago.
Yeah.
Now, just before it was just after the Echoes.
Echoes. Even. Yeah, yeah.
And you were in my first ever ones to watch.
Oh, mate! I know you've been very kind to us.
No, and I mean, we were going to get into this now, we may as well just go straight in. I mean, you know, you've been quite busy since then. I mean, obviously, you've done more gigs with Chantal McGregor. You've released that other kind of single/EP last year.
Cold Night.
With that. I mean, that's done well. Now you've released your new EP, Reflections, which is being very well received. I mean, what's this time been like for you guys? I mean,
mate, in all honesty, this is so Luke and I sat down in, I think it was the start of 2022 and just planned this all out up until 2026.
Wow.
With our manager as well, and we sat down and we went through the kind of milestones we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. And we didn't have the songs, right? Creatively, what we wanted to do. We didn't obviously know Chantel. We didn't know Lawrence Jones. We didn't know Don Martin. We didn't know these people, right? You know, we just looked at it and looked around the scene. And they had no idea who we are as well. Many still don't, mate. So we just sat there and thought, right, if we're going to do this properly, let's plan what we want to do and what we want to achieve. Now, we looked at that plan the other day compared to what's happened, and we are so far ahead of it. It hurts, right? Which is great, you know, which is an incredible place to be. You know, the nominations for the Blues Awards, winning, you know, single EP of the year from you, winning Live Act of the Year with Great Music Stories, mate. None of that was in the plan, right? None of it. No, we didn't even talk about awards or anything like that, or just not struggling to sell tickets either. That was one that wasn't even there. It was all about, what do we want to create? What kind of sound are we going for? Who do we want to be as a band? What message do we want to get across? How many gigs do we want to play each year? Where do we want to play? Obviously, we had, we want to support Rival Sons, and we want, you know, all our heroes and stuff, right? The Who. But it was, we planned, and then what we did is we just started knocking stuff off the list, which was in our control, right? And, you know, like recording, like getting videos done, like getting photos done, like when you're shattered and you've, just come off work, going into the studio and recording or rehearsing. And just the one thing we said to each other was, there are many bands better than us, many, many bands, right? Who are more talented, write better songs. We just thought, let's just try and outwork them. If we outwork them, right, that's in our control. We can't, I can't get better on guitar because I'm a lazy guitarist, right? It's pretty straightforward. But if we just, or maybe not outwork them, just work so hard that people start going, like you just said, you guys have been busy. So yeah, and it seems to be slowly but surely paying off, mate. That's a long answer for you guys have been busy.
No, I mean it's one of them things, like every time, I mean, I've been keeping an eye on you guys since, and every time there's something going on. Like last year there was like I can't remember who exactly it was, but it was like some American news network thing.
Yeah,
And I'm like,
CNN.
boss, like if you'd have said to
CNN.
me, like, guess what, which one of these things will happen? I
Mate,
wouldn't
don't.
have predicted that.
On, neither did we, mate. Right, so that came about from a tweet from our producer, Tuika, the presenter, who heard Strangers off Reflections and loved it, and said, the first thing that was going to be played on CNN, right? And we were like,
Big news.
God, that's amazing, right? We'll take that. And then, God bless her, she then pushed it and said, no, I want to get the boys on. I want to sit down with them. I want to interview them and stuff like that. And we were like, oh God. And I remember being in Luke's house, right? We were in Luke's house, and I got the proper mics out for that one as well, mate, to be fair. And we're sitting there, and it was a Zoom thing, right? And up pops this picture of Ika in the studio. And Luke just turned to me and went, mate, is this live? Because we literally went from being this, yeah, we can handle an interview, to, oh my God, if this is going out live, we're in so much trouble. But yeah, it went to like 20 million people. He was telling us that it broke records for how many people watched out of the news channels, like 27% of people around the world at that 20 million at that one time were watching our interview and stuff. And it was just, you can't plan for that. You can't. That's a bit of luck. That's a bit of serendipity. That's a bit of whatever you want to call it. But it came from being in the studio till 3 a.m. writing songs and working on really hard. So yeah, it was just, we're incredibly fortunate, mate. We have incredible people around us, incredible fan base, and it was, is it the golfer that said, Jack Nicholson or whatever, he said, yeah, that it's funny, the harder I work, the luckier I get. It just feels like that for us, mate. And we're loving every minute, to be honest with you.
No, I have to agree. I think that that is kind of the key. You know, if you work really hard, you don't have to necessarily, you know, in any field, I don't believe you have to necessarily be the most, you know, the best, I don't know, the best guitarist or the best interviewer like me. You know, you don't have to be the best in class, but if you work really hard, I think that people kind of, you can't help but notice it. And that was the thing I would see with you guys. It's like there's always something. And I'm like, you know, I mean, recently, you know, I can keep going. Times Radio. You know, I mean, what's this? I'm like,
Mate, honestly, I tell you, oh, mate, yeah, so that was weird as well, right? So we obviously, we're massive advocates of mental health and supporting mental health. Last year we raised 3 grand for the Samaritans. This year we're putting our tiny weight behind the Mental Health Foundation, and they picked up on the Cold Night EP that we did, which was just me and Luke, mate, basically sticking that out and getting a few friends to help us. And it was from Guy Bellamy from Great Music Stories who spoke to them about it and said, look, you should check this out. And that's what he did. He slightly opened the door for us. But then it's up to them to, they'll check out the band, they check out the story, they check out if you're being authentic with it, or are you just using a charity to kind of promote yourself? And obviously, which is what we're not doing, because I don't care if no one knows about Blue Nation, but if we help one person with their mental health or seek help for their mental health, then it's kind of job done. And yeah, Guy, we found out about that, mate, the week of the EP launch in Birmingham. So Guy messaged me saying, right, Times Radio want to do an interview with you. And I'm sitting there thinking, it'll be fine. It'll be on Zoom and we'll be able to be okay. And no, no, they want you to play live. They want to interview you in the studio in London. And there's going to be a novelist there who was lovely. A guy who is like the top brain in AI. An actress from Dune 2. And
that's
I'm like,
ridiculous.
Why are we here? And it's like, so we're getting like proper imposter syndrome. And we walk in to, and everyone's going in and out for their interviews, right? And we're last in. So we walk in and we think, oh, everyone's going to leave because it's going to be me and Luke and Ed Vasey, right? And he goes, no, no, everybody stay. So there's a 7 people who are top of their field sitting there watching us in a room. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, this is just, you know, and you just, the worst thing about that was they said to me, I had to count down during the song because I had to hit the 10 o'clock news. Mate, see, the dog agrees. The dog's like, yeah, I remember, Neil, that was really tough. But yeah, it was just mental how we had to pull backwards and get it right, you know, and it's just, yeah, came from one thing. Someone's very rudely walked past our window, and obviously that is a cardinal sin for a dog, isn't it, you know?
Of course.
So, yeah, but it was just, we've got the Don Martin stuff as well, right? I know you said you want to talk about that. And yeah, mate, you know you have to shut me up and just cut in. So if you have got questions, mate, when I take a breath, get in there. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it was going to come up. I mean, we may as well throw it out now. I mean, you know, people on here will be familiar with Don Martin because I had Don Martin on last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously an incredible talent. But again, I mean, did this come about through... You know, did you guys kind of overlap at a festival? Did you? Yeah. I mean, I imagine you're kind of mixing in similar circles.
Yeah, it was, right? It was, I'll tell you, and also, Dom is the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my life. I mean, and I said that's probably one of the first things I said to him, which I don't think got us the tour, probably didn't, but it was at a festival, and it was called Buck Moon Festival.
Mm.
And we were just on the acoustic stage, right? And, Dom, I think, was on the main stage, and we played the show, and we did like 3:20 minutes or something because it was flip-flopping between the main stage and us. And we're putting the gear away, and it's just me and Luke. And obviously, we know who Dom is, right? And there's no way we thought he knew who we were, right? We just were like, so he came over to me as we're putting the guitars away. And he said, I really like your guitar. And, you know, it was the 12 string of my SJ200 because it was my acoustics. And us being us, I just went, mate, just get it out and have a play on it. I was like, you know, I'm the same. I'm not precious about my guitars. And he went, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. So then he busts out this most incredible thing I've ever heard on my acoustic.
It's insane. Yeah.
And I was like, God, that's how it's supposed to sound, right? And he's just like literally crouching down by our gear as we're packing away. And then I said to him, I said, you are literally the most beautiful man I've ever seen. And he just laughed. And he was so sweet and so, like, just really genuine as Dom is, right? As you all know, I haven't spoken to him. And he's insane as a player and a songwriter. And I literally said off the cuff, mate, I said, look, Dom, if you ever need a support act for a show, give us a shout. We'd love to support you. Mm. And he went, yeah, I'll keep it in mind. I'm always on the lookout and stuff like that. I really liked what you did tonight. And... Yeah. And that was it, mate. It was probably 5 minutes. We were just talking for 5 minutes, and he came up to us. He didn't say anything about a tour, nothing he was doing. But then he liked a picture I put up about 6 weeks ago of, you remember the Muppet, Dr. Teeth from the band? Because there was a picture of me with my big gob open, and I just put that picture up saying spot the difference or something. And he laughed at it. I don't think it was that got us the tour, but then
that was the tipping point.
That was the one. They were like, Dom was like, this is a serious band. Yeah. But no, and then we got an email. Our management got an email from his team saying, would the boys be interested in these dates? And it was like 16 dates and in Ireland.
Mm. Yeah.
And you know what it's like, mate. It's so hard to get on these tours, and it's so hard to position yourself the right way to get on them and stuff. So, and Dom's been watching us, obviously, from, you know, with what people are saying and stuff, which is cool. He's done his homework. Our fans are buzzing because obviously it's Dom. And we are as well, because it's a chance for us to play in front of people that would never probably have heard of us before and different locations. And that's the biggest thing for a band. That's what we want. We want to go out there and play to people, so then we can put our own shows on as well, and we need to build that audience. But it was, we are very, very grateful to Chantel, to Lawrence for taking us to like the Netherlands last year and all the UK gigs, and to Dom and to anyone that gives us the opportunity to support them, because we let's be honest, support bands, you're trying to steal the fans. You're trying to steal the
It's
fans. You,
tough though.
it's, you know, so you have to walk that line of being very gracious and like, thank you, to please follow us on our socials, and come to our gigs as well, right? But yeah, it's just every single day, mate, there's a new WhatsApp group or a new message that's gone round that someone's talking to us about this, or they're interested in this. There's about eight more bits of news that need to come out, which is already confirmed. And I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, people are going to get so sick of us. It's just like, because stuff, they're different, right? They're not like, just buy this new t-shirt. It's not all like that, but it's mind blowing, mate. And we're just really grateful for it. And I think that's maybe why stuff's coming our way. I don't know. It's just, I'm just so happy, mate, as you can probably
No,
tell.
I can feel it. I mean, I saw like one of the things that I love about you guys is you still remain very grounded and self-aware. Like I've seen the recent edited clip of the Rockosaurus interview where Lou just obviously just says whatever it is that's gonna
Mate, whatever floats into that poor boy's little mind comes out of his mouth, right? And it's not, and we do talk about it. And to be fair to him, I think he says in the clip, well, no one told me I couldn't say anything. I
True.
was like, and so, and which is very true, we hadn't. So that's not even the worst bit of that night. And I can't tell you all of it because it will reveal something. Obviously, our PR team was there. Whitney was there in Leo's. And Luke starts talking about something Whitney's told Luke over the mic, and it's a big, nothing to do with us, and it's a big thing that's happening with her, and all you see is Whitney in the crowd going like this, like no, shut up, no, don't say anything, and I'm like trying to get Luke's attention, going, no, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything,
Going
and
off.
oh, can I not say anything? And then he's like, anyway, moving on. It's like, God bless him, but it's hard, mate, to kind of keep up with it at the minute. It's just a very beautiful place to be, and we very much recognize that every band, and we're the same, right? Every band wants to be where we are in at certain points and certain aspects, and it's not lost on us, because we look at other bands and think, oh God, I wish we were doing that, or wish we were, here, there, and doing XYZ. So it's not lost on us when we do get the opportunities like Dom has given us and stuff like that, because I get it. I get it. Every band wants to play everywhere, wants to go on tour with their heroes and stuff. It's just, I just sit there and say to people when they ask us how we get it and how we do it, just keep working hard. We haven't got, we've got, my dad is our manager. We have agents that work with us, but we're not exclusive with anyone. No one's knocking down our door to be our agent and stuff like that. I wish they would, but they're not. We have Whitney and John who do our PR as well, who, but they get us, and they understand where we're coming from with stuff as well. So there is no magic formula. There is no dress like this, play like this, do like this to get where you need to be. Just work hard and gig, and you know what? Build a community around you of fans, and they'll do all the pushing and support for you. They just will. They just will.
I think that like the people talk about, oh, the rose tinted glasses, oh, you could, back in the day you could get record deals, you could do this, you could do that. But I think one of the advantages of today is now you don't necessarily need the backing of a big label. I mean, I'm seeing more and more people being able to be independent. And obviously, with that, you get much more freedom, you get much more choices. I mean, as you've said there, you've got people around you who you trust, who you feel get you, guys, you know, as a band and who you are. You know, I see it with you know, When Rivers Meet. Like, they've very much got a similar kind of thing. You know, they keep it very much within their family and within their unit. And it, you know, it's happening more and more. You know, people are deciding to go, you know what, I'm gonna kind of do this independently, do this by myself. And I think that it's great to see that you don't necessarily need, you know, like some people may cynically think, well, I don't know, they've paid for this, they've done this, or they need a label to do this, or, you know what I mean, or they must know somebody, or, you know, you hear, I'm sure you've heard this kind of thing before, but it's great to see that, you know, you can get to where you want to be, like that tour with Dom, through just hard work, and then it positions yourself at the right place at the right time, you know.
That, and I didn't believe it for years and years, right? I thought you need a label, you need to. And there is, look, it's the
I
music
mean, of
industry.
course, there's benefits.
That there is going to be, there is a lot of who you know and stuff like that. But I think one of the things we try and do is just take away that smokescreen, right? There's no agents involved in the Dom stuff, so we're not on the same. We haven't got an agent, right? So we work with agents, but we haven't got one that we're signed up to. So it's not that kind of stuff. We're not on any same labels or anything like that. It was Dom's management team who look after him reaching out to us saying, would the guys be interested? And there's a kind of a bit of a beauty in that, because then, like, Dom's got control over who he wants to play on his shows as well, right? We were like, do you want us acoustic or full band? And he was like, full band, because I want two power trios. And I'm like, that's such a good idea, right? So he's thinking of the fans, he's thinking of what show's going to be put on there. And yeah, there is obviously, if you know people in the industry, it's going to help you, right? We don't. Right? So this is the thing, right? And I'll happily tell people, yeah, I know loads and loads of stories about people getting on certain shows and how I'm paying to get on certain shows and stuff like that. The road to a career is doing it small steps at a time, right? And building it and building fan bases and building and traipsing around the country and around different countries and getting out and people seeing you live so they can understand who you are. If you want the big record deal, which is fine if that's what you want. I personally don't see the point in big record deals. We've had record labels around us over the last year, and every time we sit down with them, I'm like, what are you going to do differently than I can? Apart from have a much bigger marketing budget than we've got, apart from maybe get us on that festival at, you know, Early Doors and stuff and that kind of stuff. I said, are you going to work harder than us at this? Are we your first priority at doing this? You know, because you've got other bands which are bigger and stuff like that. And the answer always is where we were. I'm like, you can't physically work harder and care more about this than me, Luke, Nick, Ollie. You just can't. Because it's our band, right? And I'm yet to be proven by any label where they sit down and go, we're going to do this. This is what we're putting around you. So for me, yeah, the road's going to be longer. Yeah, it's going to take us time to get there. But I want a career. I don't want to just chart for 1 week, then fall out of the charts and stuff like that. If I did this to be in charts, I'd go on X Factor. I'd go on all that kind of stuff and just do it that way. Playing live and making music that people message you about when it comes out and says it helps me through this dark time. There ain't no money on that you can put. It just ain't, right? And the point of about you know, people know people and stuff like that. I can tell you who pays for this stuff. It's me and my dad, because we'd have our own label, which is what we put out the Blue Nation stuff on, right? And we have to do jobs to fund it and stuff like that. The lads obviously pay for their own instruments and stuff. That's obvious. But I wouldn't find anyone that can care as I'll happily be proven wrong, but every meeting I've had with a label at the moment has always started with, we really like you, we really like XYZ, but we want you to go in this direction, which is normally the same direction as every other band out there, and normally there's someone doing it better than you. So I'm like, that artistic integrity you spoke about, I'm like, I it means more to me than getting a signing on bonus or being on that festival or just saying to people, we're signed. I can do that with anyone. You know, it doesn't, doesn't make the show any better for the fans if we sign a record label. Doesn't make the product, I don't think, any better, because it just means we get in a shed load of debt. Still, CDs will still get released, vinyl will still get released, you know, all those kind of things will still happen. So it worries me that people chase the record deal, but I agree with you. I see a slight turn with people because they want to have artistic control. They really do.
And I think that you're totally right there with the that kind of, there's almost, I'm seeing it with the ones that are going down that kind of road, there's a bit of a boom and bust. Like you'll chart, sure you'll maybe have a hit single, but where are you in 3 years, 5 years?
Where are you in 15 years, right? Where are you in 20 years, right? And there's nothing wrong, right? Please don't, anyone listening to this, please don't get me wrong, that I'm not saying the way I'm doing it and the way Blue Nation are doing it is the right way. It's just the right way for us.
Yeah.
However, if you want to pony up to all the record labels and the radio stations and be that band that constantly get played on one radio station and then get played at their festival and then don't get playlisted on their festival, you know, on their radio station, even though you're playing their festival, all power to you. Go for it. It's a model that works, but just look at the people who are still around in 15, 20 years, right? I would much rather do this at my pace on my time, unless someone can convince me otherwise. And so far they haven't. Now I might be in the minority and completely wrong, mate, but I'm sitting here going, we're loving it. We're reaching people we haven't reached before. People are telling us that we're doing a good thing and it's right. And I don't want to lose that, you know? I don't want to lose that just for the sake of being like every other band and the path they're on. I'd rather tread my own path because it's far more exciting for a start, you know?
Of course, you know, we touched on it briefly there, the new EP, Reflections. Mm. Did you guys look at, you know, like obviously what you've done in the past, and did you think, you know what, we're going to approach it like this time around? Did you have a real kind of idea of what you wanted? I mean, you spoke a bit about there of, you know, we have this plan of kind of what we want.
Yeah.
Did you have that for the EP?
We did. Yeah, we definitely did. So we had the Echoes EP, the first one, we had those songs already, and we thought this kind of fits right together. We had another one, which was truly awful song-wise, which didn't make it, quite rightly too. And then we wanted to follow up because you had, like, on the first one, you had The Reason, you had Echoes, you had I Feel Low, you know, and they're a real moment in time for us as a band, you know, just starting out creatively again together, and Ben coming in at the time on drums and stuff. And just, you can see us finding our feet, right? Echoes was a bit of a lightning bolt that came from nowhere. You know, because we kind of sat there and went, oh God, why have we written this? Mm. But then with Reflections, it was much more, it was a bit tougher, mate, because we were like, how the hell do we follow up a song like Echoes? Because it's got so much love from everyone and it's such a deep subject matter that we were very conscious not to go, let's go write an EP about mental health, because we were like, that won't work for us. You know, our songs have to be about either what's happened to us or our friends or our family and stuff like that. And that's what these songs are about, right? And it's the only way we know how to write. I could not write, and Luke, I know, couldn't write a song if it was just, let's make up a song. Because it's got to mean stuff to us. So, you know, with Strangers was written in the studio when we were doing pre-production because we didn't have a fourth song. And it's about, I won't tell you who, one of the band members many years ago was going out with a girl and she literally wouldn't leave his house.
Wow.
So she was like, no, I'm going to stay here. And he's like, well, I'm going to football, so I don't. So it's, and it wasn't Luke. So there you go. So all me.
You're narrowing it down.
Yeah, so there's only two left now. But yeah, see, and then every single time was about a toxic relationship. And then Old Friends is about literally going to the pub and being pulled out of it by your friends. And Hand Me Down is about just kind of sticking it to people who try and kind of put you down and give you hand-me-downs and things like that. So we just wanted it to be very real, very us, riff-based, but with the melody in there. I think the premise we gave Trev was we want to be like The Who, with hints of the Beatles and Fleetwood Mac in there. And he
Wow.
went, and he just went, how the hell are you going to do that? I said, we don't know. We don't, but that's what we're feeling. So that's why we're kind of a bit sporadic with the songs, right? You know, it's like with Old Friends compared to Hand Me Down, it could be two different bands. You know, it's a waltz, for God's sake, Old Friends is, and Hand Me Down is just right, 4-4 riff, let's go. And let's scream down the mic for 3.5 minutes. So, but you know, the Who did it. So why can't we, right? I'm not saying we're the next two. Please do not. Do not. Well,
Next
I'm
headline.
no. God, no. Yeah. I tell you what did happen, mate. This is nuts, right? You know, obviously, because I do the live stream every Thursday, and Wolfie Foxlow, who used to introduce the Who on stage and stuff, I think he still does actually. He's good mates with him, and I did. The Kids Are All Right acoustically, just because some people ask for covers and stuff. And about 2 days later, Wolfie texted me, going,
Whoa.
Roger said he liked your version. And I'm like,
Wow.
oh, please don't tell me you played it to him. I was just
That's
so good.
mad.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's that Kevin Bacon thing, isn't it? You're never that far away from him, whatever, that 5 degrees of separation, right? But we didn't caught that. We didn't go. And just for the record, there will be no news about us supporting the Who. If that was the case, I would not contain that. Yeah, we're just gonna be us, mate. But someone did say to us the other day, said you're a bit like the Who, that you don't stick in a lane. You kind of like to move a bit. And then you get obviously the Beatles comparisons, and you know, the Led Zepps, and the which is all very great. We just like harmonies and riffs and good melodies, really, is the way we see it. So, but if people are talking about us in that kind of those names, mate, I will take it every single day of the week. So, you know.
It's good to be in that conversation. I mean, what you mentioned there, you know, that 5 degrees of separation. The one thing that's really surprised me since doing this is kind of how small and close-knit the entire music industry is.
Yeah.
You're only you would be stunned that you can only be one, two people removed from somebody that you think is completely unattainable.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I spoke with last year, Gerard James Nichols. I don't know
Oh
if
yeah.
you're familiar.
Yeah.
And it was like having a great chat with him. And then it's like I discovered that he's best mates with Zakk Wylde. And I'm like, well, that like who would put those two together? You know, like I wouldn't have thought in my head.
Nah.
And then it's like, right, okay, so he's best mates with Zakk Wylde. So then Zakk Wylde obviously knows Ozzy Osbourne very well. So it's like I'm three people removed from Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, mate, it's
Like
mad.
that's ridiculous, isn't it? Like so for me, it's this thing of like you just never know who's watching, who's looking, who might stumble on your stuff, because it's such a small little community, but I think that's great nowadays, you know.
I mean, social media gets a very bad rep for very good reasons, right? And in many occasions. But the one thing it has done has made it very, very easy for artists to blow up. Very easy, you know, and even with TikTok and stuff like that. So there are negatives, right? The short form videos, the attention span, and I'm including myself in all of this for the record, because I am a huge TikTok fan. It's where I get most of my knowledge from now, which is frightening. But you know, it's you either embrace it, or you stand in your back garden shaking your fist at the sky. You know, that's not going to change anything. But it's I had it at a gig. This is wild, mate. This will blow your mind. I was at a gig, and obviously Rebecca Downes was there, and we're good friends with Rebecca. God love her, and obviously she's from Wolverhampton. We're from Birmingham, so we like to kind of give her a bit of stick about that. And she literally came up to me and said, "Do you know you're related to my guitarist?" And I was like, "What?" I was like, "What? No, I'm not." I was like, "I know your guitarist." She's like, "No, you are. You're related to him." And so I had a chat to him, and then I phoned my mum and said, "Mum, do you know this name?" And she was like, "Yeah, that's your second cousin, to whatever, you know." And I was like, "Oh my God!" So I'm literally related to Rebecca Downes's guitarist, and I didn't
See,
know.
that's
And I'm
how
like,
small is this industry?
yeah, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "But you know, it's and there's loads of examples of that." But I think music is in a really good space. I mean, maybe I'm in the minority here, but I can reel off 10 or 15 bands who are killing it right now. And they've got dedicated fan bases. They're releasing great music. They're doing great shows. They're pulling people. And the biggest thing I see that is the downfall of an artist is when they try and get too big too quick. Like they try and do that show that really stretches them, that gets, that 500, 600, 700, 1,000 people, and then they're not quite ready for it yet, or they're not quite there yet. It's a big thing we're looking at. This is why we haven't done our own tour yet, because we're still building that community, because we don't want to take the mick out of the venues and the bar staff and the promoters and stuff and pull 25 people, because that's not what anybody wants. But we have to, when we do a headline tour, it's going to be 100 capacity people, right? Because that's our level. That's and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way I see people kind of falling over a little bit at the moment. But yeah, there's so much good music out. Well, mate, you'll hear it and see it. There's so much stuff out there though. So yeah, that's welcome to my TED talk and my
No. It's surprising, but I agree. I think it is in a great space. Going back to the EP, my two personal favorites are Every Single Time. It has that real catchy kind of chorus in there, and the one that you mentioned, Hand Me Down. Which I think that really showcases that heavier side. It's kind of the two sides of the band. How did those songs in particular come about? Sonically, because there's, as you mentioned previously, there's tonally, there's quite a difference there between those two.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I always look at how we write them, right? So with Every Single Time was me in my home sitting there with an electric guitar, not even meaning to write a song, just sitting there on a G chord going ding 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 ding, and I was like, oh, that's a bit Dolly Parton 9 to 5. And I was like, no, that's A minor, so that's okay. And then I was just sitting there, then I just these four chords just dropped out of my head, and I just played them, and I was like, that sounds really interesting. And then I just started going ding 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 every single ding 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 ding, and I was like, oh. And then I heard in my head, I heard, I can very easily hear Luke's bass line, because he is so fluid and gives me that room to just chug on a guitar where he can fill that nice space. And it took about 10 minutes, and the lyrics, everything just came out. And then I played it to my wife and said, is this anyone else's song? Because I kind of recognize it, but it has got that ability when you hear it, you just go, oh yeah, I can sing that, or that little kind of catchy melody. So that was that one. And with Hand Me Down, Luke sent me the main riff, the din din, and I was like, that's just cool. I just thought,
I
because
know
he
what you
does
mean.
this,
It's got
it's
that.
just it's just got that driving nodding, and I was like, that's just cool. And what we tend to do when we write is we just absolutely hammer the riff constantly through the whole song, to the point where we're like, right, now we need to pull it back. So Luke sent it to me. I then played it on acoustic and I slowed the verses down. That's why the verse will go ding, ding, because that's deliberate. So then it gives me more impact on the riff when it kind of comes in. And the same at the end with the I don't pay you to talk, I pay you to listen. I have no idea where that came from. And it's like my favorite lyric that I've ever written. I have no idea what was going on in my head at the time, but it just fit with what we were doing, and then it leads us back in. So it was always going to be a drive. We call it a driving song. If you can drive to it, then people will love it. Same with Every Single Time, you can drive to it. But it was just that Luke's powerful riff, and I can normally, if Luke sends me an idea or a riff, because he is the riff king, if the melody comes to me kind of instantly or the first kind of couple of stuff, I'm kind of like, right, I know I can write this, because if I can think about it quick, it kind of just falls out of my head. Luckily, I don't overthink it, if I'm being brutally honest, mate, because I'm so scared to death. If I overanalyze it, I'm going to lose it. So I'm just like, oh yeah, it happens. But that's, I've never thought about it, but those two songs were written very differently. Whereas me on my own, just kind of coming up with Every Single Time, and then Luke sends the idea, and then I get inspired by him. You know, so, but yeah, they are very different. Yeah. And in the recording process, we were just like, well, I tell you what happened. We did played Trev every single time, and he came into the studio and went, "All right, calm down, Hughesy's. What are you doing?" I was like, and I was like, he's like, "No." And that's his favorite. So Trev's favorite is every single time, as well. And yeah, but with Hand Me Down, we just needed the riff to hit, like an Audio Slave riff, like a any band, you know, like a Black Keys riff, like a Rival Sons riff. You know, it's them when it hits, and you hear that guitar or stuff. We just needed the riff to really hit, and then the vocals to come in, and then slow it down, chug it back up, and then go back again. So yeah, written very differently, mate, and recorded very differently as well. Texture.
I think that that's something that, you know, an audience is looking for more now. You know, I'm seeing more artists that are like, you know what, we're going to have a bit of variety here, you know, where, you know, like back in the day, you would have a band that's like very much like a, I don't know, a straight up blues band.
Yeah.
And that's what they are. Or you get a straight up rock band. And you guys, you know, there's different elements in there now. And it's as we've mentioned there, you know, per song, it could be something different tonally. But I think, you know, people are looking for something, I don't know, like, you know, during a gig, I would imagine that, you know, like it's not going to be one thing, is it? You know, there's some variety there. As you say, you've got like Echoes, and then you've got, you know, something like Hand Me Down. And it's,
yeah,
as you mentioned there, you know, it could be a different band, but I think that's, you know, a good thing nowadays.
It's the, mate, it's the same thing we talk about and looked at. And one of the things we did in that kind of planning meeting was that because we, at the time, there was a lot of people, and there were a few industry people saying, you know, I can't consume your music easy enough. Right? I can't pitch you to people because I can't say you're a rock band. I can't say you're a blues band. I have to say you're kind of all these kind of different things. And where we were like,
you in.
Yeah, yeah. And we were like, but that's what we want. We don't want to be boxed in. Right. So if we want to put out an acoustic track, we can put out an acoustic track. And if we want to put out a, you know, foot to the floor rock track with riffs, we can, because that then is protecting the artistry of what you're doing, rather than, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Fan, here's our rock album.
Yeah.
Oh, here's our third rock album. Here's our fourth rock album. Oh, by the way, there's another riff in this one coming, and it's going to be very similar to it. I don't think it brings value to people who are ultimately buying your music and coming to your shows and spending money on petrol and spending money on hotels and stuff like that. I just think, and look, we live in an age where you can skip, right? So if it's a track you don't like, just
don't
skip
have
it,
to
right?
listen to it.
Yeah, yeah, unless it's vinyl. But even then, you know, they're pretty cool now. But yeah, it's a real conscious decision for us. You know, we look, don't get me wrong, mate. We could write a 15 track album of all the same song. We could do that. And we would probably get on radio stations, and we would probably get on certain circuits, and we would probably get on certain places, which we will take us longer to do if we keep doing what we're doing. But it won't have any soul in it. It won't have us in it. It won't have an authentic, genuine, this is who we are. And we're never going to apologize for who we are. And many people in the industry have said, oh, wear shades, wear black coats on stuff, and we're like, oh, with leather jacket. I'm like, well, for a start, two of us are vegan, so that ain't gonna work, right? So it's just we're just unapologetic of who we are, because the main thing for me, as long as the people that follow us like us, as long as the people that pay their money that they've earned on our stuff go, guys, this is great, this is who I want you to be as a band, I ain't deviating, because everyone, the industry will come along when they're ready, right? Which is always the case anyway, right? Ed Sheeran got signed because he had loads of people watching him as well. I'm not the biggest Ed Sheeran fan, fair play to him, but, you know, they weren't there when he was busking in the street, you know? So maybe I'm just a bit rose-tinted specs on this, but the more we can be there and bring value to people who actually come to see us, you know, job done. If my career is playing in front of 200 people every night, God, I'd snap your hand off now, mate. I really would, because 16-year-old Neil, that's all he wanted to do was to play a gig. That was it. I didn't want to be on Spotify. I didn't want to be on TV. I just wanted to play one gig with my mates, right? And now I'm going on tour for 16 days and to Ireland. I've been to, 16-year-old Neil is absolutely crying beside himself with how happy he is. And I think that's what people forget. You know, they think they have to chase the charts or chase the stations or chase the labels and stuff. No, just be present for the people that put money into you. And everything else will fall into place. I mean, we're living proof of it, mate. Do you really think we planned to be on CNN? You know, that was one of our targets,
right? In 5 years.
That's it. Do you really think Times Radio or going on tour with Dom, right? You know, when we've looked at our stuff we put for next year and thought, we're kind of ticking this stuff off. You know, we're going to have to, so we do one every, end of every year. We look at it and go, right, what do we want to achieve? And just, we just shoot for it. And if we miss, we miss. But if we hit it, it's great, you know. And I implore any band, just work your watsits off. Just gig. Just go meet people. You know, don't worry. I literally had a message from an artist today saying, I want a manager, I want an agent. Who do you use? How do you do? And I went, don't bother. I was like, don't bother. I was like, just gig. Just create a community with your fans. I did it far too late. The only reason, being brutally honest, I managed to create a community with Luke and stuff like that was from lockdown. Because we started streaming every week. That was it. And we created this community. And that community is far stronger than any industry, anything you can find. Because it's people power.
Yeah.
Just focus on that and you don't go wrong. Everything else falls into place because then the TV, the people like that, they come to you and go, oh, we want to talk to you because of what your fans are talking about. We're getting booked now on gigs, mate, because our fans are annoying people. Annoying is probably a harsh word. Requesting is probably a better word. We had a guy ring us the other day going, I have to book you or people are going to lynch me. and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He goes, no, it's amazing, right? And these people we've never met before, right, who have been to a show, and that there's a power and a beauty in that. There really is, that I missed for so many years because I was chasing Facebook likes and labels and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And now I'm just like, how did I get this so wrong for so many years? And now I'm still not getting it right now because we're just still trying to be present for the community. So yeah, it's wild, mate. It's wild.
I mean, related to that, what do you feel it is with your songs that really resonate with people? I mean, the thing that I've noticed, having read the comments for various different songs in your catalog, you know, people, they might get introduced to you through, I don't know, Echoes or something else or a different track. And they seem to stick. It's like you get one song or two songs and they're there. That's it. It's like once they get that introduction, what do you feel it is that's just pulling them in straight away?
I would have had a different answer to this probably 4 or 5 weeks ago. Wow. And I'll tell you why it changed as well. Now, I thought that, they just must be all right songs. And people are like, but then I agree with you. When we look at the comments, it's always attached to something that's happened in that person's life. I love Echoes because Echoes is probably an easy one because of the subject matter. But look, Cold Night as well, or Hand Me Down, right? People have said that Hand Me Down has helped me because it kind of makes me feel a bit more up and powerful and I get up out of bed kind of thing. But I tell you what it was that changed my mind. Nick, who obviously depths for us on drums when Ollie's not gallivanting with Mr. Plant, which he is right now actually as well.
I mean, that's a bizarre connection.
Mate, don't even.
So many people removed.
Yeah. And just for the record, everybody, that is not why we're getting success. All right, just to be very clear, Mr. Plant is not doing anything in the background for us. As much as I would love him to, but no, the Nick, obviously, who is just a member of Blue Nation, just as much as Ollie or me or Luke, he did an acoustic night just on his own, and his missus sang and stuff, and they sang Echoes, and it was. And someone filmed it and Nick sent it to me. He didn't ask my permission before playing it though. So he does owe us some royalties, but I'll let that slide. But it was the first time I ever had heard echoes, right? Because I don't listen to our CDs. I listen to the songs too much when we're mixing and mastering and all that stuff. So once they're out. And obviously when you're playing it, it's different. You're in the song, but you don't hear the song because you're trying to stay in tune and make sure you do it justice. So it was the first time I'd heard echoes sang at me. And Emma, his lovely other half, was singing it. And she's a great singer as well. And Nick was playing it. And I really listened to the lyrics of it. And rather than think of the reason why I wrote it or what the subject matter was about, I just literally found myself kind of feeling, it's going to sound weird, like feeling the song in a different way. And this is the song I know intimately and inside out, right?
Yeah.
And so I sat there and thought, I've never heard echoes like this, because someone else was playing it, someone else was singing it. And it really changed my perspective on why people dig us. So, and I think the reason they dig the songs is because it makes them feel something, you know, which is attached to them and their life. The same way why I adore Rival Sons, the same way I adore Ocean Colour Scene, because the songs that I listen to, I think about moments in my life when I've needed music or I've needed an escape. It could be an ex relationship or just, you know, a bad day or stuff. And the music made me feel better. And that's, music's a powerful thing. So it was, yeah, I've changed my mind on it from it. It must be something to do with how they feel when they hear the music. Now, I'm sure all our tracks don't do that to people. I'm sure it's some. Echoes is probably a standout on its own because of its subject matter. But that's the only thing I can put it down to, mate, because we are a bunch of idiots all the other time. So it's just like, you know, we don't take ourselves seriously. And what you see, and that interview that Luke did with Rockosaurus, where that's just us.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's no.
I think that's part of the charm, though. I've seen the photo shoot where Luke just looks like the friendliest man I've ever seen.
Hey, do you know what? It's like herding cats with us. Will Carter did a shoot with us, and I can't tell you the amount of times we've been told off by photographers.
Yeah.
Just pissing about. And it's just, but we get bored, right? And we're just like, I don't know, maybe people.
I think that's part of the appeal.
I think so.
You guys are so real. You show that you're like, a lot of people would have seen that photograph where Luke looks like a children's TV presenter and gone, scrap it, get rid of it, I'm not doing it. But you guys, you post it, and I think
profile picture done.
Yeah.
The thing is with this, right? It's, I think Luke said in that Rockosaurus interview that we do take what we do very seriously, you know, and like the planning and stuff like that. And behind the scenes, it's 24/7, right? We're constantly working or doing stuff or thinking of new ways so where we can, you know, make the show better for people. But the thing is as well, I can't stand it when I go to a show and I see four or five lads or whatever it may be in leather jackets and their foot is on the monitor and it's the same old stuff. And I know there's going to be a 2-minute guitar solo. And I know that the singer's probably going to have, like, he's going to put the mic stand upside down at one point, because that's what you do. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there going, just give me something so I know who you are. Just, you know, even to the point that some people don't speak on stage. This next song is this, bang. This next song is this, bang. I'm like, the biggest thing for us is you've got to make connection with people, because that's what music is. That's how we all listen to music. And also, you want to escape, right? People want to escape. People don't want to think about work. They don't want to think about the news. They don't want to think about what's just happened in their life. They want to escape. And at Leo's last week when we played that show, if one person goes out after watching us and is smiling, we've done our job. You don't have to buy the music. You don't have to follow us on all the socials. If they go out and go, do you know what? I've had a great 50 minutes listening to them. Right? That is more positive and more powerful in the world than you trying to force your music down their throat. Because, and I'm the same. I can't stand it if I walk into a shop and someone says, can I help you, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I
do know what you mean.
So I don't know what I'm going in to buy, but you're asking me, and I just, and it, that sounds very bad of me, but hopefully people understand. It's not about forcing yourself on someone. It's about going, this is who we are. If you like it, get on the bus because it's going to be wild. If you don't, that's cool as well. Right, don't worry about it, and kind of be happy in the fact that we're not for you and you're not for us. It's just, and it again, I got to this far too late, mate. I've done all the leather coat stuff. I've done all the foot on the monitor. I've done the shades on stage. Look, don't get me wrong. I've done all of it, right? And it all fell on its ass. And the only time, and me and Luke can pinpoint it to a gig, and it was supporting Cherry Suede, and me and Luke didn't plan it. I think we were both a bit too tired and emotional of putting on a pretense of we're in a cool band. And we just started how we talked in the studio with each other, messing about, talking about our days or whatever, or just, I can't even explain it. People call it banter. That's the biggest word I see when people talk to us. They say, oh, you've got great banter. And me and Luke are like, we have no idea what we're doing. We're just talking to each other and taking the mick out of each other, you know?
But I think that's who you guys are, and I
Yeah,
think
it
people
is.
can see that. And
Yeah.
you know, the you can't help but find you guys likable because it's like, well, these people are clearly genuine. You know, as you
Yeah.
mentioned there, it's like we're not trying to force a sale. You know, we're not going buy, I don't know, what it buy a massive merchandise or buy wear everything with our name on it or what. You know, it's like if you enjoy it, go for it, you know.
It's the sole reason, mate, why we don't release the singles on CD. And people are
Right.
begging us
I
to.
imagine there's a lot of
Yeah,
demand.
they're like, please. And we're like, no, because we know we're going to release an EP, which you're going to buy. We know that you were going to release more music, or maybe a t-shirt, or maybe a hoodie or something, you know, and space it out as well, right? Because times are hard for everybody, right? And I had this conversation with someone recently where bands forget that people travel all over the country to see you. That's a hotel, right? So there's 120 quid. The fuel, let's say it's 30 quid, right? If you've got a really economical car, when is a tank of fuel going to cost you 30 quid? Never, but you get my point. The tickets, right? The tickets. So let's say it's 10 to 20 quid for a ticket. You're over 200 quid already and you haven't had a beer yet. You've not even had a beer, right? And so you're going to spend. So then you sit there and the band will go, yeah, but our CD's only 15 quid, our t-shirt's only 20. We positively say to people, don't buy the merch, right? And this isn't a reverse psychology. Stick a few quid in the mental health or Samaritan's bucket for us, because it will go further, it'll go more. And then what they do, they go and buy a load of merch. And I'm like, no, you're missing our point here. But it's not, you know, like the start of this interview, mate, when you said, oh, you've got your mic. I said, yeah, and I've got a big F off light there behind me, putting that on me to make me look better. It is there, I can see it's there, because it's just, but there's no point hiding that. There's no point hiding that kind of stuff because everybody knows, because that's what you do. But I think people just have been crying out for a band or an artist to just not tell it like it is, because there's plenty of artists out there who tell it like it is, but just don't hide anything. Don't just delete, just put everything out there. And if people love you for it, love for it. If they hate you for it, they hate you for it. But I don't know, mate. It's the one question we get is, do you script the gigs? And I'm like,
Can't.
are you joking? Are you like, have you seen? I mean, the last gig at Leo's, mate, we got onto the subject of, if you want to buy merch, it's £5 to slap me in the face. And you should have seen the excitement in Luke and Nick's face, right? Just because we were messing around, and like, and then, you know, halfway through the show, Luke was like, has anyone got a fiver? Right? It was just tiny little stuff like that. And if we'd sat down and gone, right, I'll say it's £5 to slap me at the merch, and then you say,
You'd
Luke, it's like,
forget it,
it just,
wouldn't
yeah, we you just can't do it,
you?
mate. I can't remember chords and lyrics, let alone a script.
Yeah.
But I don't know, mate. We're just in such a wonderful space, and we have such a wonderful community around us that if you'd spoken to me a year ago, if you'd spoken to me 6 weeks ago, and you know, and said, you know, whenever Dom, you're going to go on tour to Ireland with Dom Martin, I would have gone, get out of town. Dom has no idea who we are, you know. And it's, I don't know, we're just going to be us, mate. And it's, I know it's going to piss people off, and I know some people are going to enjoy it, so cool, it's one of them. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. I mean, you mentioned the whole connection with charities.
Hmm.
How How did you guys reach that conclusion of, you know what, we're gonna partner up with such and such a charity for this one, we're gonna do this. And how did that come about? Because I don't see a lot of bands doing this. You know, there's obviously there's some out there, but there's not a tremendous, we're not falling over bands that are dishing out for charity.
I think that, so I'll answer your question. How did we come about it? So it all started from the lockdowns and doing the live streams, and I got very angry with the fact that the politicians were saying we should go outside and clap or bang pans
It's
for nurses and doctors.
aged well, hasn't
Oh, brilliantly.
it?
And show our appreciation for them. No, just pay them what they're goddamn worth, right? And the superficialness, if that is a word, of that it was a ploy. Oh yeah, let's stand out and clap and I mean, come on, right? So I spoke to Luke at the time, obviously over text and stuff, and said, look, I want to do something, even however small it is. And we started raising money for Birmingham Hospital, right, for the NHS. We raised over £1,000 for them. Not and it was wasn't asking people just for money. We donated one of my stage jackets. We had these dolls, these Russian dolls that were got made, and we put them out. We've done test pressings for Blue Nation, so kind of like either auction stuff off, so it goes to the higher bidder, or like a bit of a raffle where people put £1 or £5 in, whatever we see, deem fit, to then have their name drawn out, hand lit written lyrics, all that kind of stuff. And that kind of progressed to exactly what you said there. We don't see many bands using their voice in front of 300 people to say, hey, what about this? And it was kind of after Echoes. We wrote Echoes because obviously Echoes is about a friend of mine and a family friend as well who committed suicide and dealing with the grief, right? And dealing with what you go through that grief. And Luke works with young people and he's a mental health, he's trained and obviously in mental health and being an expert in that. And he came to us and said, look, there's some stats about men's mental health, which is just shocking, that between the ages of every half an hour, between the age of 5 and I think 45, a man or a boy commits suicide. 5 years old, mate, 5. So we were like, this is just off the scale. And we then spoke to each other about our own mental health. I had a very bad time with my mental health a year and a half ago, and I told the lads, and it was nothing more. I don't say nothing more. It was me putting pressure on myself and me wanting everything for the band to be perfectly and trying to be everything to everyone and being nothing to anyone as well. But the minute I spoke to the lads and I texted obviously my family and spoke to my family about it, I felt a million times better. And we just said we have to on stage, we have to talk about this. We have to put it out there. We have to, if we raise 10 quid, it's 10 quid more, right? There was never any target, there was nothing like that. And then we just said, right, what we're going to do every year is, or depending on how long it runs for, pick a charity to support that needs that help. And we've only had one gig, because that's one of the main things that we do make sure is right, is when Luke talks about mental health, that is, we say the same thing at every gig, obviously, because you have to make sure it's right, okay? And we obviously check the facts and we keep up to date with it. And at one gig, a guy, and Luke obviously talked about the stat I said there and about, look, we have to talk to each other. It's okay to not be okay, especially men. And one guy shouted out, you're bringing the mood down, dude. And quick as a flash, Luke said, you're the reason we have an issue with men. We have to make sure that someone is talking. If you've got 300 people in front of you, mate, you have to tell them. I think it was like 1 in 25 is suffering with mental health issues. So in that room, at that moment, people are suffering. I can't begin to tell you the amount of messages we get after gigs, after we talk about mental health. They range from people who have suffered, people that have thanked us for talking about it, people that work for the Samaritans or Mental Health Foundation coming up to us saying, thank you for promoting this as well. We're just a tiny little band, mate. We're not doing anything special apart from just telling people what we think about it. And to the point where people have also, there have been times when people have come up and said to Luke specifically, you've just helped me see this more clearly. I mean, just before we played Just Push Play, Luke's cousin committed suicide and he was 18.
Wow.
And we spoke before, and we were talking about, look, are you sure you can do this gig? Because we'll pull out, right? Lee, you know what Lee's like, mate. He's
Well,
sound. He
yeah.
he'd totally get it. And he went, no, I've got to do the gig. I've got to talk about this because if we don't, we're kind of charlatans. And I said, okay, mate, that's your call. We'll support you. And at the show at Just Push Play on stage, he broke down.
Wow.
And because he was talking about it, so me and Nick stood next to him. And after the show, a guy came up to him and they had a very private conversation together. And lo and behold, that gentleman is now thriving and actually studying to be a mental health expert. And he's turned his life around. Now it's got nothing to do with us. We're just the spokespeople. We're just the people who have got a microphone in front of us. And we feel it's a duty that we have to speak about it. I think, to answer your point, I think bands get it wrong a lot of the time because they say they're doing something for charity and tag on an album, an EP, a gig, or something like that, which will benefit them money-wise. I get it, right? And it might be, and I don't think it's done maliciously. I don't think it's done to make money out of the charity. I don't think that's at all. I just think they misstep a little bit because. And it could be all very well intentioned, but the charity, the cause has to be at the root, has to be at the center of the focus. Everything else comes around it. It was a really big thing for us, mate, when we were looking at the Cold Night EP, because we didn't want the music to be the focus. So that's why all the money, I think the cost to record it, because me and Luke kind of had to do it and pulled in our producer mate to help us and stuff just so we weren't completely crap and it was value for people. But like, the cost of the CD cases, we did 50 exclusive CDs, I did handwritten lyrics for everyone and 50 individual videos. So it wasn't like a recorded message 50 times. They were actually individual. So when they bought the CD, the people got value, but all that money since when we covered our costs went straight to the charity. The streaming revenues for life will go to the Mental Health Foundation. And it's just making sure the charity is at the focus or the cause is at the focus rather than yourselves. And choose we've supported Mind, I say the NHS, Samaritans, Mental Health Foundations. We sit down as a group and discuss it on
It's
who
clearly something that,
it's in
I
our
feel
DNA.
each one, they mean something to you. Like it's a personal thing almost, you know?
100%, it has to be because a bit like the songwriting, mate. It's if it doesn't resonate with us, if it doesn't mean something to us, so intrinsic to who we are, it will fall flat, right? I've seen. I don't know if you've seen the stuff today about the guitarist from Catfish, from Matt and stuff, and the struggles he's going through at the moment with cancer. And it is a beautiful thing to see all these bands and artists sharing the GoFundMe page and that money's pouring in from so we can get treatment from America or stuff like that. It's the music community is very special. I don't see many other communities like it, and I include the fans in that as well, where everybody rallies around. Maybe football. Football maybe does that as well, but you've got that tribal mentality. But when something tragic happens in football, the
Oh,
rivalries
they
get
all
put
get
aside.
behind you.
They all just get put aside and stuff like that. And I think as bands and artists, we could do a hell of a lot more without being too Bono, right? We don't want to go that far.
You don't want to go down
You don't want to. You need
the
to hold back from the Bono route. And so that's why we'll talk about it before Echoes. That's why. I mean, we ask so much of our fans and any fan to buy this, do this, and also then can you give to this charity? But we explain the reasoning behind it and then leave it up to the fan of what they want to do and stuff, and it's up to them. But yeah, it does mean a hell of a lot to us, mate. We've been told by industry people to not make a noise about it because it doesn't go with an image and stuff like that, and we've literally told them to get in the bin because we don't care. An image is what people see you, and you if we played in front of 1,000 people, they'd all think something different. You know, they'd all think we sound like a different band. They'd all think that the way I move on stage looks like that person, or my guitar I use there, or that sound is from that band. It's so subjective music that I think bands and artists desperately try to keep in. We need to be 70s this or did it. It's like, nah, just be you, and then let the public decide on who you are and what you do. And you know, I think everyone could do more. We could do more, mate. We could do a hell of a lot more, and we're going to do a hell of a lot more. We just like balancing it and thinking about our fans as well, because you know, everyone's going through a cost of living crisis, you know,
Oh, God,
gas
yeah.
price, you know, so we're not immune to it. And I think I've had mental health struggles. Luke has mental health struggles. We all have them at certain times. We all worry about money. We all worry about how we look, how that haircut makes you look, how you look on stage. Oh, look, you know, even when we do post the stupid photos, we do look at it and go, oh, God, look, all right, idiot there. We're not immune to it as a band. We just, I think bands hide away from that. And, you know, you always see the next catalogue pose, which we've got them as well, right? Where you're looking
Of
off in the
course.
distance. You know, the world isn't a perfect place, but it's full of love. And everyone, well, not everyone, we tend to forget that sometimes, that there are some beautiful, amazing people out there. And we always seem to focus on the negative people. You know, it's the reason why I don't watch the news. But yeah, hopefully that explains a little. Again, a very long answer, mate, to say, yeah, we
No,
sit
I think
there
that
to talk about the
that's
charities.
that no, that line, the world isn't a perfect place, but it's full of love. I think that's perfect.
It is though. It really is. It's just we need. I say this to people all the time. We're not perfect as a band. We're not. We don't get this right. We mess up all the time. We have struggles and stuff. Money worries. You name it. But you know, by doing this and looking into it, there's so much help out there. There's so many different organizations. I didn't realize there was an organization that can help you with debt, for example, right? They can literally talk to you about it. They'll put a plan together with you, and there's numbers and it's completely confidential. You know, of course, yeah, you've got the gambling numbers, you've got all those kind of things as well that will help you, but it is out there. I think the first thing people are so terrified to do is just to talk about it and just go, I'm struggling with this.
I think men in particular. I mean,
Mate.
it's like I've spoken to new. There's always somebody that knows somebody, or themselves. You know what I mean? It's just it keeps going and going and going.
Leo's on Saturday, mate. They lost a good friend of theirs in November last year. We had no idea, right? We had no idea, and obviously we spoke about it before Echoes and stuff like that. And they came up and thanked us and said thank you for saying that. And we then had a 20-minute conversation about the person that had gone. Right, that's important. And this stiff upper lip stuff, or boys don't cry, and all this kind of stuff, it's rubbish. It's utter rubbish. Every guy, boy, man I've ever met is always struggling with something, be it their masculinity, their how they should be perceived. They need to be the strong one. They need to do this. Once, mate, and this blew my mind, literally. We came off stage, and this is how it went, right? And there was a guy standing, very tall guy, probably in his 50s, with his wife next to him. And we're literally walking off stage, and she stopped me and said, and me and Luke, and went, thank you so much for what you said about mental health. He really struggles with it. And this guy's face didn't move. So, and I was like, God, if that is not a perfect analogy for what men go through with this, it's unreal. And then we stayed and talked to him and said, look, what's going on, man? Tell us. And his first words were, well, you know what it's like, you know, you've just got to keep going. And I'm like, wow. And so we got into it with him. He was a soldier, had been a soldier, was struggling with PTSD. So like the harshest of mental challenges, if you're a soldier, if you're struggling with PS. We didn't obviously ask him what he'd gone through, but I think he'd been in Afghanistan, obviously seen things, and we just spoke to him and just said, look, I know you're trained to not show fear, not show anything, right? I get that, right? But look at what happened here tonight when we came off stage. And he was talking to us, and he talked for a good 20 minutes. And we said, look, do you feel better just for chatting to two bloody idiots from Birmingham? And he went, weirdly, I do. And I said, yeah. So talk to your wife about it. And you kind of saw the realization in his face that if I can talk to two weird Brummies, right, I can talk to the woman I love, right? And every gig, mate, every gig, we get messages, we get people coming up to us, either they've struggled with it, they know someone has struggled with it, they're currently struggling with it. And this, it's any age, right? Yeah. We've had 19-year-old lads message us through Instagram, and we've had 50-year-old blokes stop us at the merch stand, right? And it's a constant thing where they're happy someone is there to go, I'm going to talk to you about it. I had one message that 6 months ago, mate, where a father messaged the band page. You had never seen the band before. I said, I need to thank you because our son came and spoke to us and actually referenced you guys and said, you guys said it's okay to talk. So he's talked to us. And he was an 18-year-old lad going through, like, I think it was like uni or GCSEs or something like that. And he was just like, I have to thank you because we had no idea. All we said was, please just talk to someone, your parents, your brothers, your uncles, your friends, you know, and just try to make it real that it's all right, because we're telling you it's all right, and we're supposed to be shifting some music and playing tunes to you. So if we say it's all right, it has to be okay to talk to people. So it's been a huge eye-opener, to be brutally honest with you, mate. It's taken on a life of its own. We are honored and privileged to be in any kind of conversation with it. Luke is trained in it, so we're very lucky to have him, because he can spot signs and he can talk to people on a different level to say I can, or Nick or Ollie can. But yeah, to anyone listening to this, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going through, you can DM us. DM this mad Brummy, right? I'll talk to you. It's us on the other end of the social media. I won't have all the answers. I don't have any of the answers for myself, but I'm here, right? And you've got so many people. And Luke always says, and it rings so true, if you're thinking about making that decision, that ultimate decision, don't make it today. And I think that is such a powerful thing to understand, that you don't need to make that decision today. Go speak to someone, go talk to someone, and you will work it out. It might take time, but you will work it out. So I think, yeah, it's, as you can probably tell, mate, it's something, I think sometimes we care more deeply about getting this message across than any kind of song or any kind of stuff, because it just, it gets really trivial when you're then talking about, download our latest EP. It's just like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, it's music, man. And if it makes you feel good, then cool. But I think that's why we desperately want people to have a good time at our shows. Mm. Because it escapes the mind and stuff. So, yeah, we're never going to shut up about it, mate.
And I don't think people would want you to.
Nah.
A thing that I always like to finish on, that I ask for, you know, a question I ask for returning guests.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit more fun.
This is always the difficult part in the set, mate, when you have to pick people. So yes, we play Echo second to last, so, right? So
there's a bit of a tonal shift that's going to happen, mate, here for the people listening.
Lean into it, right? Lean into it. We do echoes, and then we say, all right, can everyone sing this song with us on Down by the River? And they're all like, what's going on?
So, of course, you know, it relates to the EP, Reflections. If you could guest on any album,
God,
or even just be a fly on the wall for it, you know, witness it happening, what album would that be?
Oh,
it's a massive question.
God, mate. It's just too big.
This is why I leave that till last.
Yeah, thanks for that. Jesus. Well, okay, I've got one answer, first of all. It would have been The Beatles, Let It Be, but I've seen Get Back, right? So
yes,
I've kind of
revealing, isn't it? Yeah.
When he's writing Get Back, he's mad. So I've kind of seen that. So that would be a cheating answer, but that would have been it. An album, I know Luke's answer would have been Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. So I know that, because he's or maybe one of the Zappa albums, because he's huge Zappa or Floyd fan. For me, what album? Do you know, it would probably be The Beatles again, but it would probably be Revolver. I tell you why. To look at how they used the technology then compared to, say, what we've got now. Because everything they did, you can kind of do pretty easy now, right? With the gizmos and gadgets and computers and stuff. But the how they, looped tapes and stuff like that. And I know, and I'd probably say Revolver, mate, and just to sit in and see that magic happening, and just to see that shift that they did as well, because before that was what, Rubber Soul, and they were still quite poppy, and they were still
Major
the big,
difference.
yeah, they were still very melodic, and they're still very Beatlesy. The hair was a bit longer, and I think it was then Revolver, wasn't it? And so yeah, I'd love to have seen the conversation when they went, we're going to go from, what is it? We're going to go from like pretty safe to Revolver. And I'm like, I would have loved to have seen there and just seen the faces on like George Martin and the man and the managers and stuff, just been like how it works. So probably that, mate. Plus, I get to meet the Beatles, so.
There's that as well. I mean, it kind of goes back to that image thing, doesn't it? Because there was an image change, there was like a tonal change. I mean, it would be interesting to hear that, what does a record label say to that when you've already got a really successful band? I imagine they were probably like, whatever you do, don't change.
Yeah, don't get your hair any longer. No more. No, right. I don't want your hair any longer. I'm a bit weirded out that we've gone, this way. But then, because that was the kind of opening for it, wasn't it? It was, I
That's
mean,
the
and
gateway.
that's the gateway. The gateway one is Revolver. And I know Revolver's probably Luke's favorite Beatle album. I love Rubber Soul. I love Rubber Soul. And I love Revolver. But, just having that, just those songs. I just think it would be, they would have had so many people advising them, even though they're the Beatles and they've got so many number ones and they've got so many people would be like, this is a mistake, don't do this. Probably the same for Sgt. Pepper's as well, right? They probably had the same kind of stuff. What do you mean you're not going to tour again? What do you mean you're not going to play again? What do you mean you're just going into the studio and doing this now? That doesn't, what? But they were so. The thing I got from Get Back was they were so dedicated to know this is the music, this is what we want to do. And they were kind of blindly like, no, this is it. And people still loved it and still listened to it, So if they can do it, anyone can, right? I'll just blame the Beatles if anyone tells me.
No, I think that's a great answer because it's
Oh,
like
thank
a
God
real
for that, mate, because I was well
it
nervous.
no it's because it goes back to that earlier conversation that we had, with the image and the people saying, you know what, you can't do this. And it's like you've had like the most successful, arguably the most successful band around that have done exactly that. They changed. That was kind of a gateway moment for them, and then they went off in like a their own kind of world,
It is. Oh, but look, same with Madonna, mate, right? Lover or hater, that woman does nothing for no one, right? And I respect that. She just is like, right, I want to do this. Remember when Ray of Light came out by Madonna, and everyone's like, Madonna's doing dance, right? What a banging song that is, right? What an amazing song Ray of Light is, right? And you're just like, she can't do dance. This is our material girl. It's because people get obsessed with just like sticking you in this box and going, well, if it's not 3.5 minutes and got a riff in it and a 2-minute guitar solo, then is it really Blue Nation? Yeah, it is, because we wrote it. So I don't know.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. And of course, for those that want to check out the EP, Reflections, you can via the link in the description below. And I mean, you mentioned there with the charity thing. Have you got one campaign or something that you're running currently?
So the Mental Health Foundation, which not many people know about. So the Mental Health Foundation is the number one organization that you can go and get advice and very easy access to stuff if you are struggling with your own mental health. They do many, many courses, many, many things to kind of help you, support you. So yeah, the Mental Health Foundation, if you go on that, and I say at any gig you come to us as, there will be a donation bucket on the merch stand as well. So throw a couple of quid in and it will all go to them.
Of course, there'll be a link for that in the description as well below. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank you, mate. Thank you.